Well, Luke emphasizes Jesus' prayer life more than any of the other gospel accounts. I think by my count, Matthew mentions Jesus praying 5 times, Mark 4, Luke 9, and John 1. Although John's is the most the largest prayer of Jesus that we have recorded in John 17. So all of them emphasize Jesus' prayer life, but Luke mentions it more times than any of the other Gospels. It's one of those highlights of Luke that's there in the other Gospels, but that Luke spends a little bit more time mentioning, or more occasions mentioning. And the second time that he mentions Jesus praying is from our passage for this morning. I read this last week, or the week before when we were in Luke, because it was part of our passage then, but I didn't spend much time looking at it. So I thought, as I was thinking too of the new year, and one thing that I always want to be better about is praying. In fact, one of the things that struck me from saints, mature saints in the faith, often will mention that the area of their spiritual lives that they feel the most, that they want to advance, they feel the most immature in, so to speak, is prayer. That they still feel like beginners. And so we have this great privilege of prayer, every one of us, from you know, the person who comes to Christ at that moment for the first time, they have access to the throne of God as we do who have known Christ for many, many years. And this privilege of prayer that we have is something that I know in my life is underutilized. And so this sermon is in part for me, and part of thinking of the new year, something that I would like to grow in this next new year is my life in prayer. And as I say, Luke makes a special emphasis in his gospel account on Jesus's life of prayer. And so we're going to read the second time Luke mentions Jesus praying, one verse here in Luke 5:16, and then talk a little bit from Luke, the 9 times that he mentions Jesus praying, and lessons that we can draw from those briefly, because we're going to look at 9. So some brief lessons as we head into the new year to encourage us and to be an example to us, motivate us for growing in our life in prayer. So if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word, and we'll read one verse, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So Luke records Jesus as a prayer. He prays to his Father. In fact, this verse, it says, we learn about a pattern, a life pattern of Jesus's. It says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would. This was a pattern, a reoccurrence in Jesus, in his earthly ministry. Prayer to his Father. And of course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have eternally been in relation to one another, and Jesus is praying to his Father here on earth during his earthly ministry. And it was a regular feature, a pattern, a rhythm of his life. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So Luke records Jesus also as the one who has provided for our access to God. He's not just an example or a model for us of prayer, and he's perfect. You know, for example, we pray for forgiveness. Jesus doesn't, because he didn't ever sin. But he provides for us a model of prayer in many, many ways, instruction in prayer. But he also has provided for even the privilege of prayer. The privilege that we have of prayer, Jesus has provided. He's paid for. He's provided for our access to God. Luke 23, verses 45 to 46 says this: and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This was the last prayer on the lips of Jesus before he died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And what he did there on the cross by his atoning death opened the way into the presence of God for us. The curtain, the temple, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the outside world, it was torn in two as a way of showing, of declaring that Jesus on the cross in his death had opened the way of access for us to God. That we get to come to the throne of grace and actually have access to God because Jesus paid for our sins and purified us so that we can come to God. You know, you think of what a privilege it is. You know, we wouldn't have that privilege apart from Christ's atonement. We wouldn't have the privilege to come to God as his alienated enemies under his wrath. We wouldn't have the privilege to come to God except that Jesus has atoned for our sins. And now we've been reconciled to God. We're no longer under his wrath. Our sins have been paid for. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus so that we have access to God. Apart from Christ's atoning work, we wouldn't have access to God in prayer. And you think of what a privilege that is. So the God of the universe has given us access to him in prayer. You think of like what a privilege it would be if you had access to the President of the United States. You could just go and talk to him. You wouldn't have to go through any hoops or anything. I mean, even with going through hoops, most of us wouldn't have access to go talk. But say you didn't have to go through all those hoops, but you had access as a standing sort of feature of the relationship that you had with him, which we have in Christ as sons and daughters of God. And how much infinitely more great is the privilege that we have of access to God than it would be to the president? Or think of even our parents. If they're still here with us and we get to call them up on the phone. But, you know, if I call my parents up on the phone, they're always willing to talk with me, but they might not answer the phone. They might be asleep. They might be busy. They might not answer the phone. So even though I might call somebody who I have access to in virtue of my relationship, I might not always get a hold of them. Well, how much more with God? Whenever and wherever we have access to God, the creator of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is one of the glorious privileges that as children of God through faith in Christ, every one of us who is in Christ has. And I'll tell you for myself, I don't appreciate the blessing that is as much as I should, and I don't take advantage of the privilege as much as I should and have access to. And so again, this sermon is a encouragement to me in these things as well. So Jesus is the one who has provided for our access to God in prayer, and he also presents Luke presents him as an example of prayer, both a provider of our privilege of prayer and an example to us of the life of prayer. And so, but before looking at the nine times that Luke mentions Jesus praying, I want to, and considering how they serve as an example and an encouragement to us, I want to state clearly that the only way to have a true life of prayer with access and welcome to the Father is through Christ. As Jesus said in John 14:6, he is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That Jesus is the only way to Father. It's through Jesus that we come to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. It's through faith in Christ, whose blood, whose death has paid for our sins and thus purified all believers for access to God, able to approach the throne of grace with confidence and full assurance. Not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, we have full confidence and access to the throne of God. And that's the only way that anybody among us can have access to the throne of God. We come through the blood of Christ. We come through the Son to the Father in the Spirit. And this wonderful privilege that we have is expressed in prayer, in the life of prayer, whenever and wherever and forever. This privilege that is a wonderful blessing and feature of the relationship that all believers, that we all have through faith in Christ. This relationship with God that we have involves this full access to him in prayer. And we call the Father our Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father, and all the tenderness and all the love and all the power that that means. Hebrews 10:19 through 22 says this: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So Jesus has opened the way of access and given us the privilege of prayer. So if you want the privilege of personal access to God, the Father, and have him as your Heavenly Father, whenever and wherever and forever, the only way is through turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, receiving him as your Savior and Lord. With Christ as our mediator, we have whenever, wherever, forever, full confidence and assurance access to God in prayer. And so this is a blessing that we have, access to God in prayer. It's a feature of our life of knowing God, which is how Jesus described eternal life in terms of its quality. John 17:3, that they may know you, the only true God, and the Son, your Son, whom you have sent. That we know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and prayer is an essential privilege and feature of that privilege of that relationship. So now, what do we learn then about prayer from Jesus in the Gospel according to Luke? Well, I want to look, and I said, and briefly, we're going to look at 9. So briefly, but think about how this ministers to you from these 9 passages, how the Lord may be speaking to you personal by way of application through his word in these 9 places that Luke mentions Jesus praying. And we'll draw some lessons and encouragements for us in prayer as we head into the new year. So number 1, chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. Jesus prayed at his baptism. This is the first time that we explicitly, Jesus is described as praying. I mean, undoubtedly he prayed at the temple when we read about him there as a boy in Luke as well, but I think this is the first time it's explicitly mentioned. Jesus prayed at his baptism, and this was a key turning point in Jesus' life of ministry. It's when he began his public ministry. So at this turning point in his life, he's praying to his Father. And so one of the points of application to us is that when we're facing turning points and important decisions in life, to seek the Lord for direction, and prayer is key in this endeavor. I mentioned in Sunday school how often for us, even as believers, prayer is a last resort rather than a first response to what we're facing. And key turning points and decisions in life are times to turn to the Lord for prayer, for guidance, for strength, for wisdom. And so times of turning points in our lives, decisions that we need some help with, that we don't know quite what to do, or maybe changes in a particular time in ministry, different key turning points in life, a move, a job change, a career, kids going off to college, you know, various things you could think of as turning points in life, seeking the Lord in prayer in such times. And then the second one is our passage for this morning, chapter 5, verse 16. We see Jesus prayed as a regular practice or rhythm of life. He would withdraw to places and pray, we read. This isn't just talking about just that time. It's that time as part of a pattern and practice. He would do this. So Jesus had a regular rhythm or practice of prayer, even withdrawing at times to spend time in prayer. And so the fellowship with God, the perspective that we gain in times of prayer, the strength and encouragement that we get through regular prayer. You know, think of it like a meal. You know, as we eat regularly, it's nourishing us, it's strengthening us, and there's that aspect as well to prayer as this regular feature of fellowship with God in prayer, taking our problems to Him, being reminded of His love and the promises of His Word, the perspective that we get refined during times of prayer, strength and encouragement, that we get these things through regular prayer as regular fuel and joy for the challenges of life that we experience through prayer. This is one of the ways that our strength and encouragement and perspective for life comes. So a regular habit of prayer, not just at times of decision and times of turning points in life, but all throughout life, that it's like breathing, a rhythm, a pattern of prayer. The Lord's always with us. And again, we have access to the throne of grace, unlimited access through Jesus, whenever, wherever, and forever. The third, in chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, we find that Jesus prayed all night before choosing his 12 disciples. These 12 disciples, these close helpers in his kingdom ministry, those original 12, he prayed all night before choosing them. So again, a decision time. So we have an example about being in prayer in times of decision. And also, these 12 were chosen to be close helpers for his kingdom ministry. And he sent them out to preach and heal, to be his ambassadors in various towns around Galilee, to go and represent him and as partners in his ministry that he empowered and sent. And we are partners in Christ's ministry, whom he's empowered and sent in our day. We're disciples of Christ. And we see in his prayer before choosing them and sending them an example to us also in prayer as part of our task of spreading the news about Jesus and his salvation. Like he chose these 12 to be spreaders of the gospel. So in our prayer life, as we pray about opportunities and strategies of spreading the gospel, of fulfilling the Great Commission, of making disciples of all nations, and of asking the Lord to raise up workers to send into the harvest field, to ask the Lord to send laborers into the field that's ripe for harvest. And so the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And so prayer is such an important aspect of evangelism and discipleship ministry. And so our prayers for the fulfillment of the Great Commission, for opportunities for sharing the gospel, of telling people about Jesus, telling them the good news of the gospel, prayer as part of evangelism and discipleship. For it's the Lord who's the Lord of the harvest, and he makes the seeds grow, and he's sovereign. And so taking these things to him in prayer. Number four, in chapter 9, verse 18, we find Jesus praying when he then asked his disciples who they said he was. Who do you say that I am? And this is at Caesarea Philippi, and Peter correctly answered, the Christ of God. So Jesus, we were in chapter 9, verse 18, we see Jesus is praying, and he asks his disciples then who they say that he was. And there's this wonderful doctrinal insight that Peter is given by God to correctly recognize Jesus as the Christ of God. And so we see in this passage as well one of the applications we take from this is that for our own doctrinal insight and development, prayer is important. Prayer is important. We're called to think about God carefully and accurately. Doctrine matters. And it matters that we get it right. We are to think about God carefully and accurately, as well as prayerfully. In fact, our knowledge of God is nurtured in a life of prayer saturated with his word. Word and prayer, the two wings, as Tozer illustrated it, of our spiritual flight deeper into the knowledge of God. Word and prayer. That we are given his word and the privilege of prayer, and we are called to grow in doctrine and devotion to the Lord through these means of his word and prayer. And this knowledge that we have of God, as believers in Christ, we know God. This knowledge that we have and are called to grow in as believers is not just about God, but personally of God. Know Him personally, a matter of truth and love, of knowing God personally, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this means thinking about Him truly. That's an aspect of it, and growing in that, and having our the thoughts that are off refined. So it involves thinking about God truly, knowing Him, but not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally in relationship with loving Him. And so truth and love in the knowledge of God, and growing in this personal knowledge of God as we learn more about Him, what He loves, how He thinks, what He's revealed to us about Himself, like you would grow in knowledge of your spouse or your child, knowing more about them so we know more about God. But it's not just an academic exercise. It's personal, that we know and grow in our love and our worship and our devotion to God. And prayer is key to this endeavor of growing in doctrine and devotion to the Lord in our lives. Number 5 in chapter 9, verses 28 to 29. We see Jesus shortly afterwards praying at His transfiguration on the mountain with Peter and John and James, where He revealed His glory to them in that special way on the Mount of Transfiguration, where He was transfigured and they saw His brightness and His glory in that special way there on the mountain. So for our growth in the experience of the glory of Jesus, prayer is often key. As we with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord and are thus transformed into His image from one degree of glory to another. As we grow in our experience of the glory of Jesus, His gloriousness, His beauty, His amazingness, as we grow in that and our experience of His glory through the ministry of word and prayer impacts our hearts, and we're transformed more and more into His image. And prayer is one of those ways that the Lord transforms us through the glory of Jesus. So there we see Jesus was praying at His transfiguration, and He revealed Himself in that special way to Peter, John, and James. And so in our growth in the appreciation and the seeing of the glory of Christ, prayer is a key instrument in that ministry. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus was praying when one of His disciples asked Him to teach them to pray. So we find Jesus praying, and then one of His disciples asked Him to teach them to pray, and He taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He taught His disciples. And so He taught them how to pray, you know, praying according to Jesus' instruction. So pray, do it, and do it this way. Jesus gives us instruction in prayer. Here's how to talk to our Father in heaven. And Jesus gives us an example and a model in the prayer that He taught His disciples, taught us to pray. Not all of that prayer applies to Jesus, as I mentioned. Jesus doesn't pray for forgiveness because He has no need to. But in that prayer, He gives us instruction on how to pray. So we have the amazing privilege of coming to God through Jesus Christ, coming to our Heavenly Father through the mediator, Jesus Christ. We have this privilege, so let's do it boldly and in faith. And if we need help with how to do that, let's use the Lord's Prayer as a model. There's no better teacher for us on the life of prayer than Jesus. There's no better teacher on how to approach God in prayer than the Son of God, who has given us instruction and also modeled for us a life of prayer. And then on the 7th, chapter 22, verses 41 to 45, we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane with great intensity and earnestness and honesty. He always prayed honestly. and passion and submission to the Father before he was about to enter into the most excruciating experience of his life. So, I mean, he's praying in the way that he did before, but now it's this excruciatingly intense moment in his life in which his sweat became like drops of blood, and he's about to go to the cross. He knows what's facing him, both physically and then also spiritually at the cross, and he's there in Gethsemane praying in this intense time of trial and suffering in his life. So for us, in facing the intensities of life with faithful endurance and obedience to God, whether it be during times of temptation or times of trouble or suffering or hardship, persecution, intensely difficult decisions in the face of death and dying, and with the constant watchful readiness for the return of Christ, the constant readiness, we're called to be alert and ready for his return, which is soon, that these intensities in life call for prayer as we approach them, as we engage them. Prayer is important for our single-minded focus, and strength and submission to our Heavenly Father in these times, in these intense times. There's the pattern, the routine of prayer. He would retreat in prayer, regular pattern, and these intense times call for these moments of maybe even more intensity in prayer as we face these intense times in our life. Again, whether temptation, trouble, hardship, suffering, persecution, difficult decisions, death and dying, and the constant readiness for the return of Christ, constantly living in the expectation, the sure hope that we have of his soon return. And then in number 8, on the cross, the last two ones are while Jesus is hanging on the cross. So that's the context. He's on the cross. And in verse 34 of chapter 23, Jesus prays for the forgiveness of his crucifiers. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He prays for the forgiveness of his enemies at the moment that they're crucifying him, at the moment that they're coming against him. And so for us to love our enemies and to truly extend forgiveness to them, even in the midst of their hatred of us, we need Jesus' help, and prayer is key. We see Jesus on the cross praying to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is praying as he's extending forgiveness to his enemies in the moment, in the hotbed moment of their coming against him. And so we can take the matters to our Father and follow the example of him who was so amazingly gracious toward us, that as he hung on that cross, he was dying for our sins. We have been forgiven so much more than we're ever even called on to forgive others of. We've been forgiven so much more than that. And we see Jesus there on the cross in the moment, in the excruciating moment of his crucifixion, calling for forgiveness, of his crucifiers. And so we can prayerfully love our enemies in the strength of Christ, who has loved us so undeservedly, so graciously, so greatly. And so in those times of extending forgiveness to those who have sinned against us, of loving our enemies, prayer is one of those instruments, privileges, tools that we have to draw on for God's strength and grace that he provides to us to be able to forgive our enemies and love our enemies. Forgive those who have sinned against us. And then lastly, Luke, as I began the sermon with this prayer, the final prayer on Jesus' lips before he dies in chapter 23, verse 46, while on the cross, where by his sacrifice he opened the way for us to God, in his last prayer before he died, Jesus prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He knew that there's no more trustworthy hands to commit his spirit to. He had an implicit and absolute trust in his Father. In this most intense, excruciating moment in his life, Jesus was unswerved in trust to his Father and his Father's goodness and his Father's faithfulness. At that moment, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus trusted his Father absolutely, even in the hardest of circumstances imaginable. And I mean that literally. There's no circumstance that you and I will go through in our lives that is more intense, as difficult as when Jesus was on the cross paying for our sins. And so there we see Jesus in that moment of suffering, the darkest, deepest part of the valley of the shadow of death that Jesus was walking through in that moment. He commits his spirit to his Father because he knows his Father is good all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. He's fully faithful, absolutely faithful. And there is no better place, no better one, rather, than to commit his spirit to than his Father. And so through us, that whatever we're facing, to do so in the absolute confidence and trust that God is good, and it is a right and good and infallible investment of committing our souls to the Lord. And we've done that at conversion. We continue to walk in that in our lives. And as we face the moment of death, God is good. He's good all the time. His promises are ever true. He's always faithful. And Jesus knew that of his Father as he was on the cross. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so then may we be strengthened by God's grace that often comes through prayer, to live every circumstance that we face committed and submitted to God in trust. Jesus was fully committed and submitted to his Father. And so we committed to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, committed to and submitted to God in trust, knowing he's always good and ever faithful. And that nothing, as Paul tells us in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, who is working all things together for our good and his glory. Death can't separate us. Principalities and powers can't separate us. Hardship and difficult circumstances, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we walk in our lives and through prayer, ongoingly committing ourselves to the Lord, to whom we have thrown ourselves on his grace and mercy, his sufficiency. We've committed ourselves to him. And so walking that out in these moments of dark, deep difficulty, and seeking him during those times as well in prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, we have the great and awesome privilege of coming through Christ to the Father by the Holy Spirit in prayer. And prayer is one of those amazingly precious gifts we have through faith in Christ. And prayer is, as Calvin said, the chief exercise of faith. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. And so in our lives of faith, let us take fuller advantage of this amazing privilege, the privilege of prayer as believers in Christ, this next year, and see what God will do in and through our prayers to his glory. And let's utilize even more this privilege that I know it's not just me who underutilizes this. I've heard it too many times from others as well, that this is one of those areas that we all, as believers in Christ, who are being transformed into his image, want a more rich experience of. And it's a privilege that's there for us to have, by the grace of God, this access to God in prayer that we get the privilege of experiencing in our lives now, whenever, wherever, and forever. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the amazing privilege that we have of coming to you in prayer through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are in life, whenever, whatever we're going through, we know that you're with us forever. And we thank you for this privilege. Help us to lean into it more, to walk in it more than we do. I know that none of us have plumbed the depths of this great privilege that we have to come to the throne of grace of the triune God of the universe. The way is open, the welcome is there. the arms of love are open to us, and because of Christ's sufficient sacrifice, we come, we stand there with full assurance and confidence. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk in prayer, that this would be a year of greater and more blessed experience of prayer for all of us in this room, as we walk in the privilege that Jesus has given to us, and follow the example that he has set for us, and ask it in his name. Amen.